Some might think that today I might speak about the Holy Father's papal visit, but I need time to prayerfully read through the documents, and so I will be preaching at all the Masses next weekend, and at that time I'll be reflecting more on what these last 6 days have meant for the Church, for maybe St. Peter's, and for the blessed and beloved Indigenous people of Canada. But that's next week. Today I've entitled my homily, Honeycomb Generosity. Honeycomb Generosity. In today's readings, we hear about two kinds of people, and this is a theme that is presented again and again in Holy Scripture. What would be called the foolish person and the wise person. When we think about the foolish person, I want to compare this person to flint, and the wise person to honeycomb. The flint and the honeycomb. To get anything from flint, you must hammer it. Yet all you get are chips and sparks. The flint gives nothing away if it can help it, and it will only give something away with great display. Contrast that with the honeycomb. The honeycomb is something that we only take what it generously gives. What the honeycomb gives, it gives freely, without badgering or begging, without pressure. Because here's the thing, the honeycomb is a renewable resource. Unlike the flint, the honeycomb is connected to life. It is the product of the ongoing work and creativity of bees. The wise person, the wise man, the wise woman is like a honeycomb. He is continually replenished by our generous God and can grow in living what I am calling this afternoon honeycomb generosity. You see, here's the thing. The wise person recognizes that we are invited by the Holy Spirit to share our lives freely with others. Now, I am sure everyone who is here this afternoon wants to be a wise person. And to be wise is to recognize something significant. We know that our lives are on loan from God, and that our lives are to be given as a gift to others. It is this theme that is at the heart of our readings for this afternoon. For here, we see, starting with the psalm, two ideas that are critical for us to understand if we are to grow in wisdom, if we are to become more and more people who are characterized by this honeycomb generosity. Here's the first verse from today's psalm that I want to highlight. So teach us to count our days that we may gain a wise heart. Let me say that again. Teach us to count our days so that we may gain a wise heart. That is, that we can become men and women who are filled with wisdom. Now, how do we get this kind of perspective? How do we do this kind of spiritual arithmetic? And this is where our first reading from Ecclesiastes is so important. Ecclesiastes is the Greek word for church. And this book is also known in Hebrew as Koheleth. Koheleth means the preacher. So in Hebrew, the focus is on the person preaching, and in Greek, it's on the people who are hearing the preaching. So here we are, I'm the preacher, I'm Koheleth, and you're Ecclesiastes, you're the church. And we would say that, well, it's not the most sort of upbeat homily. If any of you like Winnie the Pooh, Eeyore is the Winnie the Pooh of the Old Testament. It is a book that is in some ways a little bit of a downer. And even its beginning is a little bit hard to take. Five times in the first verse, we hear, vanity of vanities, everything is vanity. Now, be careful, this does not mean Vanity Fair. This is not about glamour. This is not about looking in the mirror and singing with whoever the singer was who said, you're so vain. I can't remember who wrote that song, but you know the one I mean. No, vanity in this sense means the following. You could translate it as, life is like a bubble. Life is like a breath. Life is like, whew, here today and gone tomorrow. That's what Koheleth means when he says, vanity of vanities. That in relation to God, your life and my life is like a breath. Or we could say it's like a beautiful firework at the stampede. For 20 minutes or so, they're beautiful. But then what are you left with? A bunch of smoke. And what this writer is wanting us to see is the following. If we try to calculate our life, if we try to make sense of it, if we try to count our days only from the perspective of this world, it's going to seem meaningless. It's going to be without any deep and ultimate purpose. And then he gives a really helpful example. He says, say you've spent your whole life making a bunch of money, and then you die and you leave it to your ungrateful kids. Vanity of vanity. Or, as Jesus will tell us in today's gospel, what so often happens with inheritance? Fights break out. Family go to the lawyer to try to settle the settlement. And in today's gospel, this one guy comes to Jesus and says, Jesus, I'd like to hire you to be my lawyer. Can you please settle this account with my brother that he'll share the inheritance with me? That's what the first reading is all about. So often in this world and in our lives, we become so preoccupied with money that it becomes that which is most important. And what does it lead to? Fights, division, and even families dividing forever. Vanity of vanities, says Koheleth. And our psalm that we were reading today understands this, because we prayed these words. Now, it was a little difficult to focus on this because we had a light show going on while we were praying the psalm. But let me say it again. To you, O God, 1,000 years in your sight is like yesterday when it is past, or like a watch in the night. So what does that mean? Jesus was here 2,000 years ago. From the perspective of God, well, that's 2,000 years. If a day, a year, and a 1,000 years is like a watch in the night, that's like 2 days ago. Wow, that's not very long ago from God's perspective, is it? And if the universe is 13.4 billion years old, well, it kind of makes sense that 2,000 years is nothing. Well, even if I live to 100, I'm calculating, I've only got 38 more years to live. I think, or 40, yeah, that's right, 38 more years to live. I didn't do the math and I was never very good at it. But the point is this, our life truly is a breath. We are only here for a moment. And so, if we have that perspective on time, if we're learning to count our days in accordance with what the scripture says, then listen to this next verse from our psalm. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, so that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us and prosper the work of our hands. Ah, that's the perspective. I want to grow in living in such a way that I know that true satisfaction comes in relation to the steadfast love of God. And then, as I learn to order my life so God is first, then my work can also be meaningful. For the work that we have to do is intended to be good. It's intended to have a purpose, but it is not to be an end in and of itself. And this is where we have the connection with today's gospel. Jesus wants us to know that life's deepest meaning is not experienced by having lots of stuff. He actually said, your life does not consist in the abundance of your possessions. We can be the wealthiest of people, But if we are poor in what really matters, in offering ourselves like a honeycomb in generosity to God and to others, we will be very impoverished. In other words, you can be the wealthiest person in the world, but you can be like Flint. You are hard. You are not generous. That doesn't mean that everyone is wealthy is not generous. That's not the case at all. But here Jesus is wanting to caution us and warn us, because what we see with the man in today's parable is this was his mission statement for life. Check this out. I'm going to say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods stored up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. What matters to this guy is this guy. That's all he's concerned about. And it's so interesting how he speaks to himself. He says, my soul. Here's the point, people. Your soul isn't your own, nor is mine. The soul is the eternal reality of who you are. And when you die, and when I die, our souls will leave our body, and they will go back to the one who created them, to whom they ultimately belong, God. And so the first problem with this guy is that he is so self-absorbed and self-preoccupied that all that matters to him are the finite things of this world over which he has control. But here's the problem. He's not satisfied. He's not content with what he has. He wants more and more and more. He's addicted to finite things. So he goes on to say, I'm going to pull down my barns and I'm going to build larger ones. And there I'm going to store up my grain and my goods. You see the problem with him? He thought that his stuff was for him to use in whatever way he wanted to. He had no concept of how he could use this like a honeycomb. The generous gifts that he had been given to be used in the service of others. And here's the real kicker of the parable. Third and finally, this guy has no sense of the fleetingness of life. He does not believe, in a sense, that life is vanity of vanities. He thinks, I'm going to stick around for a long time. But here's the thing that Jesus will tell him. God knocks on the door and says, you fool. Oh, this is the foolish man. Tonight, your soul is demanded of you. And who's going to get all of your stuff? And then Jesus says something so important. You know, this is what the end will be for those who are rich towards themselves but impoverished towards God. Over the course of a lifetime, our character can become so flint-like that there'll be no desire for heaven. Because what is heaven? Heaven is the land of the honeycomb. Heaven is the land of that amazing generosity. And so we need to take so clearly what Jesus is teaching us today. That what investment is most important is to be rich towards God. To find that the work that we do day by day is indeed meaningful and purposeful because we are serving an end greater than ourselves. We are discovering the way of honeycomb generosity. So here's the point. The only thing we will take with us when this life comes to an end are those things that we have given away. The only thing we will take with us when we die are those things that we have given away. And it is this that St. Paul, in that second reading from Colossians, is wanting us to understand. That we have been raised with Christ, and we are to see everything from the perspective of heaven down to earth. And he says, we are hidden with Christ in God. And then he says, I want you to put to death everything in you that is flint-like. And then he mentions a few things: fornication,
evil desire, greed, and idolatry. But then he says something so positive. He says, clothe yourselves with the new self, because we are living each day, growing in our love and knowledge of God, and so reflecting the image of our Creator and how we live in relation to Him and others. We live in a consumerist society that is so tempting to say all that matters is a bigger barn and more money in the bank. I struggle with this too. It is a temptation for all of us. But may we enter into this week pondering the following. May we pray to the Lord for hearts that drip with honeycomb generosity. And may we live this breath, this moment that is our earthly life, rich towards God, and may your life and mine be a gift towards others. By doing so, we will be growing in the wisdom of the ages, the wisdom of the Scripture, the wisdom that characterized the lives of the saints, and the wisdom that Jesus Christ wants to characterize our lives as well. Together, let us be wise men, wise women, wise teenagers and children.